Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Thursday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 7th, 2011, episode 114, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm playing with my new application.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, everybody, it is Freestyle Thursday for Glenn and Jennifer because they are going out of town this afternoon. Going to, what is it, Equine Affair?
Yeah, Equine Affair in Ohio. We're leaving town. It's vacation time. Yay.
You know that guy in your office that is going on vacation and they're really obnoxious about the whole thing because they're like, they're going, I'm going somewhere and you're not. I'm going somewhere and you're not. And
that's
they're like
us.
Completely driving you crazy all week long. That is my co-host and his lovely wife today. They actually laughed at me for being here. You're going nowhere. Ha, ha, ha.
Yay, we're Fine. Leaving right after the show. We're going away, and we're going to think about everybody, but we're going to see all our friends at Equine Affair. We know so many people now.
You've got an hour and a half left. What I need you to do right now, Glenn, is pick up your cell phone and turn off the Mitsubishi Motors Badminton Horse Trials app on your phone because I know that's all you're staring at and playing with because we just both downloaded it.
No. You're wrong. I'm playing with it on my iPod Touch.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've got my iPhone out, which is a little handier. You've got your iPhone Touch or whatever you call it.
My iPod
and we've got the Badman ad. It's so freaking cool. There's a timetable, start times, results, news, audio, video, photo gallery, profiles, course guides, all sorts of stuff, visitor info, weather. I mean, it's really, really cool. And it's free. It's a free app.
I got to tell you, Jamie, I wish they had one of these for Rolex because this is very – they paid money for this. This is very nicely done. Very nicely done. I mean, it's got everything. This would be so handy when you're walking around Rolex just to pull up the start times and go, I want to see when Boyd Martin starts, and it's right on your phone. This is really cool.
Hey, okay. Glenn.
Hey, everybody.
That assumes that your phone gets reception at the park.
Well, that's true. But no, this app will be there. Just be there for you. Well, this is, I guess both of us now. Look, neither one of us are paying attention to the show.
Okay,
at this
it's the
point.
Jen show today.
Okay,
I'm the only one without a smartphone.
Now, Jen, go ahead and take it. But I will tell everybody first about my good friend Sumiko, girlfriend. You know, it's like every day we talk, like Sumiko is my kind of like little racehorse buddy. Like we talk about racehorse stuff only on Facebook. I don't know the woman at all. But I grew a little closer to Sumiko yesterday when she posted on our Facebook page. It says future candidates for hottest horsemen. And there's DRF.com, which is the dailyracingform.com. And it's beefcake time, and it is a post of 12 of racing's favorite jockeys shirtless. Now, granted, a lot of them
jockey porn.
It's jockey porn. It's like it's pretty hot. Like, of course, a couple of them, you're like, oh my god, feed that poor guy a sandwich. like, Mike Smith is actually working out in it, and it's fantastic. So if you have Facebook, and it's on our page, just go to drf.com, Daily Racing Form. If you don't have Facebook, if you do, just click on the link that Tamika posted on our wall at Horses in the Morning, and it's Beefcake Time. It's awesome. And then so you can order this calendar. Okay, by the way, it was a calendar. It was done for charity, all that. And if you order the calendar, you get a free 8x10 of a Zenyatta. I mean, does it get any better than that?
So
order a good calendar of hot shirtless guys and get an 8x10 of the greatest racehorse of our generation.
So it's jockey porn, and then it's also horse porn.
I love it. So anyway, thanks to Tamiko for that. Yes, we will have to keep that in mind when we're doing the 2011 Hottest Horseman Awards this coming December.
Yeah,
hey, you
and
know,
I can see it now. There are going to be comments about whose favorites, and yeah.
Yep.
It's going to need
hey,
its own Facebook page.
There's comments underneath it, Jen, already from other readers.
Oh, is there?
And definitely everybody has a favorite. But, yeah, mine's Mike. He's got the guns. Check it out.
I know.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of these guys are very, 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 very thin and look emaciated, but, boy, do they have muscle. I mean, there are definitely
some. I think in the bodybuilding biz, that's ripped.
Yeah, they're definitely ripped.
That would be ripped.
Yeah.
They've got muscles on their muscles. I mean, that's how muscular they are.
All right. One other thing, you know, talk about racing.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah.
Can I get my On Today's Show done?
Yes.
Thanks.
You can. Go ahead.
On today's Early Bird Freestyle Special, we have Marianne Kennedy going to be joining us for a chat. And I think today we're going to hear a little bit about what she's up to with her horses this spring, because she is one of our favorite musical horse persons. And then the Chronicle of the Horse Report will be here, and our very own Lisa Slade. And she's going to be breaking a story today that's going to really raise some eyebrows for you folks who follow military history and stuff. The United States Naval Academy's dirty little secret isn't going to be a secret anymore. It's going to be good.
Are you done now?
Just yes, back. I'm done now.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. So what I was going to say, thank you, Jennifer. What I was going to say is, see, we're pretty antsy here about she wanted to get her part done just so she could be out of here. Yeah, she's already
she's
left.
On vacay. She's
yeah,
gone.
She's packing right now, and she's going to leave without me at this point. All right. So what I was going to say is, speaking of racing, and did you just see what she posted in our chat room, Jamie?
Yes, I did. She's currently painting her nails.
Speaking of racing, the Kentucky Derby website has some fantastic content now. I haven't been there in a while, and it's a great website. It's KentuckyDerby.com. They have a ton of different videos about the race coming up, behind the scenes in the kitchens. All the different stuff that they got going on, it's really cool. Well done, high-def videos. But one of the other things is on their website, I didn't know if you knew, that you can go to a section on their website where they have all the races from the past, and they have a breakdown of each of the race. And going all the way back in history, if there's a video available for it, they have it there. So you can go back and watch all the past races. Well, the first one I've actually found a video that was a talkie and wasn't a silent, like a silent film.
Talkie.
Yeah, it was a talkie. And that's what they were back then, was 1932. And I actually have the audio here from that race in 1932. So this is the first one I found that they actually had talking on the video. So you're going to love this. Here it is.
There are 50,000 fans from all over the country here today to see America's classic of classics, the 58th running of the Kentucky Derby. Old Man Depression has been given the gate, and everybody is all worked up to a fever heat as the ponies parade to the post. The Railbirds get a last look at the hopes of South, East, and West, and then away they go. 20 Bluebirds of the Turf off in a bunch with a quarter of a million smackers bet on their noses. Watch the numbers. Number 10 is Economic setting the pace, and right behind is number 13, Burgle King, Colonel Bradley's Bluegrass Pride. As they round the first turn, Brandon Mint, number 11, pulls up alongside Burgle King to battle him for second place. In the backstretch, Economic is still leading, but Burgle King is creeping up, and he's got him. Now it's a neck-and-neck struggle around the bend, with Economic refusing to give ground for an inch. Now for the fireworks. The mile and a quarter stretch has been too much for Economic, who shot his bolt as Burgle King, son of the great Bubbling Over, comes plunging home to a glorious victory and $52,350 in the feed bag for his owner. And here's the Wonder Horse, Colonel Bradley's third Derby winner, an all-time record. Who says 13's a hoodoo?
Well, that was it. $52,000,
okay.
Jamie. $52,000 was the winning purse.
And a feed bag for the owner, but I still couldn't tell who won.
No, you watch the video, you can't really tell either. It's very black and white. But, you know, 50,000 smackers. I mean, just some of the terminology was funny, too.
The most famous part of the Kentucky Derby of all time is, and down the stretch they come.
They didn't do that. They were like, later.
And he's going around the turn there, and he got 1,000 smackaroos. I'll smackaroo my wife. Hey!
So anyway, I thought you might enjoy that. You can see all the other races at KentuckyDerby.com. It's really cool.
Wait,
it's really cool what they do.
What year was that?
That was 1932, which was the beginning of the Depression.
1932.
And there were 50,000 spectators. And now Burger King won.
Yeah.
He was wearing the big head too.
Oh hush. Don't even go there.
Daily winning time. See, I'm trying to see how fast we can get through the show. We'll just talk really fast. We'll hit the daily winnies. We'll get our guest on in 5 minutes. We'll get the second guest in 10 minutes. We'll be out of here in 20.
You know what, Glenn? I'm going to tell you something, my friend. This is clearly your baby, this Horse Radio Network thing. And if you want to end the show now, we'll just do the Kentucky Performance Product ad, and you can go because you're about driving me crazy right now.
The first daily winnie.
Or end the show.
The first daily winnie is for Celia. Celia was kind of cute yesterday. She, and I don't know her. She follows us on Twitter, and yesterday she announced that she was going to do a Horses in the Morning marathon. And then she tweeted about everything that she was hearing. It was kind of cool. So she was they're talking about Elizabeth Taylor right now. I really love that movie. And she kept tweeting about different things. So thank you, Celia. You get our daily Winnie today for being an avid Twitter follower. And now it's your turn.
I'd be interested to know what Celia tweets about today's show. Right now, Glenn is driving Jamie crazy. He's going on vacation in less than an hour and 15 minutes, and he is making her nuts. He's talking about 100 miles an hour, and he's not paying attention at all, and he's driving his wife crazy, and she's already gone because she left him because she's mad. Okay. My daily Winnie goes out to Cynthia Pirog, I believe. She found our show due to Discover Horses. It's discoverhorses.com. It has a little button, and you can go on it and listen to our show through their website. And she said that she really enjoyed listening to it. I hope she comes back. She might not.
After today, nobody's coming back. Hey, we have a big announcement, Janie. Big announcement. Big announcement's here. You want to hear
okay.
it?
Okay. Go.
Yeah, yesterday we had a long chat and we came to an agreement with Horse and Country TV, which is a really cool sort of TV network out of England, and they just made a deal actually with our with HR TV over here in the United States. HR TV is going to be playing some of the content of Horse and Country TV over here, and we just made a deal with Horse and Country TV that they're going to come on every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. And do sort of a UK-Europe update. So for all of our fans over in the UK and Liam over there in Ireland, And all of our fans in Europe, we're going to be providing a little news and coverage every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, thanks to Horse and Country TV. Isn't that cool?
That is very, very cool. Glenn, I have another Daily Winnie.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
This one's going out to my sister, Barbara Evans, Preach's sister. She likes baseball. She is a listener. She is on our Facebook page right now, and she just posted about our baseball teams. That's my girl. Now, I don't need to point out what she said about our baseball teams and how both her team, the Red Sox, and my team, the Braves, are off to an 0-5 start. However, you've got to start at the bottom to climb your way to the top, Barbara. So we're going for the whole big thing. It's going to be like the greatest comeback in National League and American League history, okay, by the time our teams face off in the World Series.
I wish
that
I had a laughing soundtrack.
Minute. That was our daily baseball minute here on Horses in the Morning.
And so basically they both suck is what you're saying.
Listen, it's not sucking. They're just feeling out other new five starters, and they're working it all out, and then we'll all get together again. Yeah, they suck right now. Go ahead.
Yeah. We've been doing the same thing. We've been doing this show for how long, and we're still working it out. So, hey, we did – by the way, all the shows for the Horse Radio Network for this week are now out because we were going away, so I had to get them all done a little early this week. So what I wanted to tell you about, though, remember we talked about the helmet cam that Jan Hamilton did on the marathon course at Chester Weber's place there in Florida? We talked about that earlier in the week, and we posted it on our Facebook page and everything. Remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, we got Jan Hamilton on the Stable Scoop show this week, and I want to play just a little clip for you. She is 16 years old. Her mother drives a separate carriage, and she drives. And actually, her mom and dad compete together. Her dad is the navigator for her mom, and then her farrier is the navigator for her, the 16-year-old girl. She was one of the most fun guests we've had on in a long time. She's articulate. She, you know how sometimes when we get the teenagers on, they get, you know, starstruck or shell-shocked, and they just don't talk. Well, she was great. I mean, I learned more about driving yesterday from her and her dad. We had her dad on, too. And it's a family that drives. They compete against each other. They've been at the same level since they started competing, her and her mom. And they compete against each other at all the shows. And it was just a fun interview. And she talks a little bit. Remember, you had a question, too, and I know Helena and I both did. Was remember in that video she was constantly talking to her horse with what sounded like code and gibberish, and we wondered if it meant anything. Well, I pulled that clip out of the show, and I want to just play a couple minutes of it for you. Take a listen. This is 16-year-old Jan Hamilton off of the Stable Scoop radio show that's now live. It's Stable Scoop episode number 138. You'll be able to go there and listen to the rest of this interview because it was worth it and a lot of fun.
Question for you, Jan. In watching the helmet cam video, obviously we can hear a lot of the cues, the voice cues that you're giving your horse. What was there? It sounded like you're saying hep, hep, hep. What are those cues that you give them when you're on course?
For some reason I had to talk a lot, and that normally it's pretty quiet, but I say hup, and that's just, it's kind of like a reassuring forward motion.
Okay.
And sometimes they say easy and steady, and that like lets them know that we need to slow down or something's coming up that he needs to get ready for, like a quick turn or a downward transition. But that hop, there were a lot of open spots where he could just freely gallop, and so I was just reassuring him and telling him he could go fast.
Well, I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved
great.
His ears were like, you know, tuned back, listening to what you were saying. It was really, I've never seen that kind of communication between horse and driver, or even horse and rider, so clear. You know, it was like you were telling him, and it was you were reinforcing it. It was definitely a supportive, positive voice communication, and it looked to me, I mean, from my uneducated eye, it looked to me like he was receiving it exactly the way you intended it.
Definitely. Every time
like
I say something, I can see his little ear come back and listen, and he definitely responds to my voice. I tell him good boy a lot, and he absolutely loves it. And the really important thing about the sport, and I think the main reason why he's good at it, is because he likes it. And it's so important to have a horse that likes what he's doing. He's very happy, and he just lives for a marathon day. He at the start gate, which isn't even, it's not like a racehorse start gate. It's just a red marker on the right and a white marker on the left and a timer there counting you down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And he just cannot wait to go. He's just like rearing, and which is a very bad thing.
Yeah, that's not too good in the cart.
Excitement.
But you're taking it in the context. You're taking it in that good context.
Right, right. Don't get me wrong. It's a thing that we need to fix. he really does love it.
Yeah, rearing in the start gate's never a good idea, whether you're riding the horse or in a carriage. Either way, it's not great.
Oh, my gosh. How many times have I seen or you guys seen anybody going to a horse trial? And you have to take this horse in this little teeny tiny start box, and they get excited. They know what's coming. It's pretty impressive how excited they get. And they used to have the start box where you actually had to walk and turn around and go, which was a nightmare for those horses that got so excited. Hey, walk into this tiny box and turn around and stand still. No, that was not going to happen. So, they finally got the little back door, so you just walk into the back door.
Yeah, that was nice when they did that. I remember Jennifer having trouble with a few horses in the start gate, a few of the babies at times, because it was just a three-sided box. You had to walk in and hang out and turn around and... But that was I was just going to say, if you want to listen to the rest of that show, you can go to horseradionetwork.com, and all the shows are there, and you can find the rest of that episode. She was a lot of fun. It was a good episode, and she was cute. We're going to follow her progress here as she goes through the summertime. She did make a comment that she hates school because it gets in the way of her driving career at the age of 16.
Yeah, she definitely did not sound 16. I mean, her voice sounded 16, but she does not sound 16 years old, you know what I mean?
No, when she was talking about training her horse, you know, she was using terms you don't associate with a 16-year-old, and, you know, she's at the eye level, you know, she's advanced level, so, you know, she's doing a good job. And seems to be having a lot of fun doing it with the family. Dad really likes the fact that it's a family thing. They get to go out and they do this together. And I said, yeah, that's the only way you're going to have a 16-year-old still liking to hang around with you, Dad. I mean, and he did say at one point, I said, you know, most dads don't like to even drive in a car with their 16-year-old daughter, let alone in the back of a carriage going 90 miles an hour through these obstacles. And he says, that's why I'm not her navigator. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah, that would be – I can't even get my dad to hold my horse while I go to the bathroom. Hey, Dad, hold this horse. No. Not going to happen.
I got a funny story on the get your relative to hold your horse. I was at an event one time, and for the most part when I evented as a teenager, I was kind of a one-woman show, but we went to one and my dad and his stepchildren came along. Stepchildren were in the – ages 5 through 9 group, and they were horse crazy. So it was tradition that I would give my horse when he was being culled out after cross country, I would give it to my dad and my youngest stepdaughter, who was I think 5 at the time, would walk the horse together because she just wanted to walk the horse. Well, my dad in his wisdom turned his back for 1 second on 5-year-old Julie, and Julie decided she was going to walk the horse without him. And we lost her. We couldn't find Julie or the horse. I was freaking out trying to get tacked up for stadium, and they're like, where did the internet go? We couldn't find them. They're just out walking around the showgrounds together.
Oh, my gosh. But they were okay. Okay, sure. They I thought there was going to be like some...
They were fine. Well, we took a picture of it. She's standing there grinning in there just walking along together. She's like up to his knees.
And I'm sure my father remembers the time that we were at a horse show. It was Willis Park, Alpharetta. There's three rings going on. It was a 100-jumper show. It was like one of those crazy busy ones. And I had my horse back to the stall, and I said, hey, Dad, watch him for a second, because he had his saddle on, but he had no bridle on, and I just was going to get the bridle. I said, hey, Dad, watch him for a second. And I went to get the bridle, and my father watches the horse, watches him walk right through the door, and watches him run away. Didn't do a thing about it. My horse goes galloping.
You weren't specific enough with your instructions there, Jamie.
Apparently not. I would think watch him be like, hey, make sure he doesn't go anywhere. No, he watches him go right out the door and gallop away. And he's like, honey.
That's right out of a comic strip right there. That's awesome.
Oh, it was perfect until my father and I go chasing up the hill. Of course, this is a thoroughbred, three arenas going on. They had to freeze and stop everybody in every arena because my stupid thoroughbred was galloping around in between the arenas. Small children were running to their mom screaming, Mommy! I mean, it was a nightmare. The only way they finally caught the horse, bless his heart, is somebody had a bag of chips. And they started rattling the bag of potato chips, and he went right up to him. This
Don't
is literally 15 minutes. I didn't have to lunge him before that show. That's for sure. Good times. Good times.
I'm sure there's other people that have stories like that, too. I mean, almost every show you go to, there's a loose horse run around, you know? Almost every show. And, you know, I always wondered, it must be very embarrassing for the owner. Now I know it is, huh?
Yeah, it's horrifying. And even as a 14-year-old girl, you will never, ever forget. I mean, Karen Heiser just posted, you've got to have a story, too. Everybody has a story about a horse getting loose at a horse show or almost getting run down by a horse at a horse show. I happen to, unfortunately, have about 8 to 10 stories of horses getting loose at horse shows.
So you're saying you didn't learn to give more specific instructions to your helpers?
Oh, no. It's always a different reason. Jennifer, it's always different. My horse got loose at the AECs, the American Eventing Championships, the best of the best. And here's my darn warm blood galloping around the tents or like a complete idiot, like he's never been trained before in his entire life. And he only went to like 15 events to qualify to be there. But he acts like it's his first time.
God.
Excuse me, I need to pull myself back together. I'm getting mad about it again.
One time at one of the pony club rallies, we had a total of 5 get loose in one night. Because there was probably about 250 horses stabled at the facility. It was the regional rally. And I was just there. I wasn't helping any of the teams or something. I was there as a vendor. And I would get up really early in the morning and walk around the grounds with my coffee. And it was day 2 or 3 or so, and the ponies were really bored. And we found 5 different ponies wandering around the showgrounds that had gotten loose that night. Because it's mostly ponies, because it's mostly small kids at this thing. It was hilarious. Those kids were so mad.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll still, because one pony will get out and let the next pony out, and then let the next pony out, and then let the next pony out. We'll have my friend Teresa on the phone at some point. I'm going to ride with her tomorrow. She and I are going to do a lesson together. We'll ask her about the time our horses were at a horse trial, and my horse got out, and the only horse he knew was her horse, and so my horse then proceeded to let her horse out, and they ran down the road. This is a now defunct event because the place was incredibly unsafe. And they ran down the road to a stallion's pen about 4 miles away. So that was a whole other story. Teresa. Yeah, Teresa's still mad at me about that. Like, it's my fault. My horse got out and then went and let her horse out. Apparently it is, I guess. But, yeah, that was a fun one. So it was also the first horse trial I ever won. So
he did a 4-mile warm-up.
Yeah.
I know. He was nice and fit. You guys, I got to tell you about our sponsor for today's show, and then we'll get our first guest on the line, Marianne Kennedy. Kentucky Performance Products brings us today's show, and they are awesome. You want to choose Kentucky Performance Product Supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. And that is so true. They will sit on the phone with you forever discussing all the different things that are wrong with your horse and different things that you can give them. So no matter what time of the year, if your horse is sweating, he needs Summer Games Electrolytes. Originally created for horses competing at the Olympic Games, this formulation is a combination of minerals similar to the typical levels lost in sweat. Help your horse beat the heat with Summer Games Electrolytes. And if you're on the go, try Summer Games Electrolyte Plus Paste. It does a it contains a dose of naloxone in every tube to protect horses under extra stress. Summer Games Electrolytes are affordable and easy to feed, and you can learn more about this and all their products at kppusa.com. And Glenn, I got both my horses started on joint armor, so I will be updating you guys. They're on week two now of joint armor from Kentucky Performance Products. Yeah,
you did get that done. I was wondering if you got that in and we're going to get that started. So.
They needed something, might as well use your sponsor stuff and then talk about it.
That's right. And it takes they said, 3-4 weeks for the joint armor to really kick in. And you notice anything?
No, we're only on week one. So I can't say that I have.
What I'm saying is I think it takes that long. I think it takes like 3 to 4 weeks before you start to notice anything.
Yeah, so I haven't noticed anything yet, but I definitely will keep you up to date because they're getting that loading dose right now, and you have them give them two scoops, and oh my gosh, this stuff smells amazing. It smells like cake. I tasted it, actually.
Your joints feel better now?
Well, I'll just tell you this. It does not taste like cake. It smells like cake, but it does not taste like cake.
Hey, while we're waiting for our first guest to call in, I wanted to mention to everybody that tomorrow, speaking of music, we're going to be having our regular musical episode, this time with Lindsay Rakers of the Lindsay Rakers Band, Jamie's old bandmate that she used to play with, and we had a great time. I think that was one of your favorites because you just got to hang out with an old friend for an hour and chat about old times and listen to some of her music that you haven't heard before.
It's all kind of new stuff to me. I mean, I think one of them we played yesterday I recognized, and then the rest were all new. And, man, she's grown up because we were like little girls on a acoustic guitar, and she's got like a real band and like a real recording album. And everything was very impressive.
Yes, it is, and I was going to. I'm going to upload one of her songs that we can play later in the show, so people can get a little bit of a idea of what they're going to be hearing tomorrow. So I will upload something that we can do later in the show. And other thing is, did you know that Carrie Underwood is in her first acting role?
Oh my God, we had to get to the Carrie Underwood news. Go ahead. I know. What acting role is she in, Glenn?
She is in her first acting role in a movie called Soul Surfer. You remember a while ago there was a teenage girl who had gotten attacked by a shark and lost her arm and then came back to become a professional surfer and does very well as a professional surfer. Well, that's what the movie's about. Yeah, that's coming out this Friday, and Carrie's in that movie. And she actually plays her therapist or her counselor. So she's got her first acting role in the movie called Soul Surfer, which comes out this Friday.
Well, very cool. Sorry, I had to. I'm sure you'll be first in line to buy tickets. Any Carrie is good Carrie, right?
That's correct. Yeah, anytime you see Carrie Underwood on a beach in a bikini is good with me. That's just
it's okay. Perfect. Yeah. When you mentioned the name Carrie Underwood, my husband popped around the corner like, what? Like Scooby-Doo, you know, who?
Is she on the phone with you? Yeah, if we ever get an interview with Carrie Underwood, that'll be like the last one I'll ever want to do.
I won't tell you that I interviewed her when I was in Atlanta on country music.
You did not. You're full of crap.
Oh, my gosh. No way. I did country music, Glenn. I interviewed your girl, and I have pictures with her.
After she won American Idol?
Oh, yeah, like way after. Do you want me to, I'm going to find the picture.
You did not.
I will find the picture of me and Carrie Underwood. Oh, you're going to die.
Oh,
you're going to die. I have a picture with her. Hold on. I'm going to have to find it, though. Where's, let's see. I'm going to have to Google it. I know I had it on my.
You got to, like, see her in person?
I know I had a picture of her on my MySpace page, my now-defunct MySpace page. So where would that be?
There's a company that they can't give away. They're trying to sell right now.
Are they really?
Yeah. You got a dollar? They'd be happy to just give it to you.
Oh, no. Is that bad?
Oh, we could write the Craigslist ad for MySpace.
Yeah.
We'll trade
$1.
For something.
Trade for a goat.
Post those on Facebook for us, guys, because we love the Craigslist style ad. What would the Craigslist style ad for MySpace be? That could be a lot of fun.
I wonder if I can still log on and find that picture. Oh, you're gonna
he's
gonna
go home tonight or tonight, and she's going to Photoshop one.
No, I actually have one. I'm not lying. I'm totally serious. Let's see. I just have to find it. I'm going through Chad's computer right now because I know I'd emailed it to him before because he didn't believe me either.
Carrie Underwood's just one of those that, you know, is on every guy's list. Definitely.
Yeah, I know. Bless your heart, but it's never going to happen. So keep dreaming, buddy. You're never going to be, yeah. As I told Chad, I was like, yeah, go ahead. That's cool. Dream on, because it ain't never going to happen.
That's true. And she's married to some hunky hockey player or something, isn't she?
Yeah, and he's cute, too. So not only is he, like, an awesome hockey player, where he's got, like, millions and millions of dollars, he's also cute. And that's hard for a hockey player. I mean, I dated a hockey player, and he was cute, but there are many.
That's true. Well, most of them don't have teeth, so that kind of takes some of the cute factor away.
The guy I dated was missing a front tooth.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, but he had a fake one that he put in, but he could just pull it out. It was kind of weird. That kind of was weird. But like I told him, I'm like, you know, at least you didn't, like, it didn't rot out. I mean, you got it out legitimately.
Hey,
bad dental hygiene.
I wanted to give you a quick update. Remember that horse sale, the 800 horses there in Montana that were on the Indian reservation that the guy had left and all that stuff? We talked about it a couple times. Well, the final numbers were in. The sales for those horses at that auction totaled $380,000.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. 25, let's see here. Prices range from $75 to $6,200 was the high. Which I'm actually kind of a little surprised at. $2,500 was the average price paid for older stallions. $550 was the average price paid for younger stallions. $418 was the average price paid for older mares with foals, and $207 average price for younger mares. So I think they did pretty good, you know, with $380,000 for those horses. They did all right, I think. And although it was not enough to even cover this guy's bankruptcy debt, so.
I really hope they went to good homes, though. You know, with some of the prices being so cheap. What did they say the cheapest one was? Did they say?
From $75.
Oh, geez. Well, I hope they all went to good homes. That's the most important thing. Because, gosh, Lord knows they've had a hard time. Poor things.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's get to our first guest right now. She's a favorite of ours here on Horses in the Morning and has become a friend of ours over a period of time here. And we check in with her every once in a while to find out what's going on in her life with her horses and with her music and everything. And that's Marianne Kennedy. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning. I sound like good morning. I haven't been awake that long, so I'm a little soggy.
Musician in the morning. This is really early for you.
Well, it's not that bad, but I'm still recovering from a bug. But like I said, it's appropriate. I'm a little hoarse. Ha, ha, ha.
Marianne, it's good to have you on again. And we have a new song that we're going to play after we're done with the interview that
great.
You did for something that's pretty cool to be invited to sing at, isn't it?
Pretty darn cool. The event this year, as you know, was very, very cool because it was the legends. So the people who were there, I don't want to spoil
the surprise. Tell everybody what it was first. Tell everybody what you sang.
Okay.
I didn't give it away.
Okay. It's called The Road to the Horse. It's turned into quite a popular event. Tootie Bland is the producer and creator. She and her husband were the creator of this, and he went to heaven shortly after they started this journey together. And now it's Tootie's main goal in life to carry out the legacy of her husband, Steve. And she has done that and is now a legend herself in the horse world and made this event a wonderful learning experience to bring horse people together. It's a colt starting competition is what it is, basically, and a celebration of the horse. And this year it was the legend. So it was Pat Pirelli, Chris Cox, and Clinton Anderson.
And it was fun. Of course, one of them happened to fall off, get bucked off, and that made probably the biggest news and splash around. That video went a little bit viral after that.
Oh, I bet it did. And there were other things that went viral. Yeah, Pat actually. But, you know, all of that is so wonderful for us as students of the horse to see when somebody like Pat Pirelli took a little spill. You know, and he talked about it the next day. So it was so educational. He said, you know, I didn't spend quite enough time on that right bend, on the right lateral flexion. He knew, you know, he knew exactly why it happened after it happened. But so it's just so, so educational. And anyway, so Tootie had asked me last year, I had performed there for the first time, and she said, we don't have a theme song, you know. And I said, I think I know somebody who could do something about that. So I wrote one and recorded it and performed it there this year. And that's what you're talking about, I think.
Yes, that is. That is what we're talking about. Do you mind? Jamie, why don't we play it now? And then we'll come back to you, Marianne, and we'll chat a little bit more. But, you know, now seems like a perfect time to play the theme song for Road to the Horse.
On this road to the home.
love that at the beginning. You're right. They never had a theme song before.
Right, right. Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think it feels really good. And I'll explain a little bit about the Spanish. When Steve and Tootie first came up with this concept, and I guess it was probably, about 8 years ago, they called it El Camino del Caballo at first, which, of course, is Spanish, road to the horse. And so it wasn't very successful when they first started it, and they had decided, well, we're doing it here in America. We want to reach the common public, so let's change it to the English translation. But, you know, honoring the vaquero and the fine horseman and those ways is what this was about. So, hence, the Spanish flair and the Spanish Western flair musically as well.
Okay, so that makes sense. That makes sense why they did that. And, you know, people that aren't familiar with Road to the Horse, it packs, like, 8,000 people into a stadium. And I know Tootie talked last year about looking for a bigger venue because they just have a waiting list of thousands of people waiting to get tickets. So
yeah,
I know she was.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be fun for you singing in front of everybody.
Pardon?
That must be fun. Did you get out there and sing the song live?
I'm so sorry I interrupted you. Yes, I got to, you know, I'm a small stature person, and so my 5 foot, 100-pound little self got to dance around in the dirt dance floor there in the big arena. But it was just great. It was great to be a part of it.
Well, that's great. And the other thing, two other things I want to talk to you about a little bit. You have horses too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we want to find out about your horses. We want to find out about your horses, but I wanted to say, you know, that we're big supporters of independent musicians who are involved with horses. We do regular shows with them, and we play a lot of their music and things, and we really try and support them. I heard a statistic yesterday that blew me away. For an independent artist to make minimum wage every month, this is minimum wage, they have to sell, if they're self-published, if they're independent, they do their own CDs, they have to sell 160 CDs a month just to make minimum wage.
Hmm.
It's amazing how much work and effort it goes into being an independent artist and making a living.
Well, I guess that's a pretty accurate statistic when you think about it. You know, of course, there are different. You sell some wholesale. You sell some retail. But, you know, yeah, I mean, if that's your only income, that's probably a pretty accurate number. So I've been very fortunate. You know, I've been doing this wonderful opportunity of making music for horse and animal lovers now for, about 9 years. And so I've met so many wonderful people along the way, and my involvement with natural horsemanship and the Pirellis really spread the word a lot for me. So, but there are so many ears and hearts out there I still want to reach, and I so appreciate you helping me.
Well, we love it. We love listening to it. So
good,
Marianne. I got to ask you. You laughed when Glenn asked you if you had horses. So you must have a big old whopping amount of them. So tell us about what you have.
Well, I have just kind of a very eclectic herd. I have 8 horses and 2 miniature donkeys, and quite a few of them I took in. It was, you know, different situations. Some I actually pursued and rescued, a couple of them, and others I was asked to take them in, and by people who are like, okay, when I want to die, I want to become one of your animals. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard that one. And anyway, and then a couple I actually, you know, bought, and my quarter horses I bought as my project. And they're all a project now. So yes, I have some are gated, some are quarter horses, and so I have 10 equines total.
do you ride the gated horses more, or do you ride at all? I mean, are you just too busy?
Oh yeah, I ride and train. The spotted horse, who's on my Facebook right now, by the way, I'm taking a jump over a barrel on a spotted horse, and anyway, his name is Brave, and I trained him. I started him totally on my own. I got him when he was 8 months old, kind of a rescue situation. He was in a pretty rough situation, needing a home. And so I ride him a lot. He's been challenging, and he's growing up, and he's a really fun trail horse. But I also really enjoy studying horsemanship and going to clinics as well on my quarter horse. So.
Oh, that's cool. Gotcha.
Yeah. And I take care of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Do you travel a lot with the music? Or do you have somebody that helps you? How does that work?
Well, yes. The first question, the first answer is no, not that much anymore. I used to travel a lot. And, you know, I have a beautiful, thankfully, a beautiful 100-acre place here, and I'm looking at my horses milling around mm-hmm. right now in the arena and in the pond. And I love being here. And I have a huge family of friends in Nashville, and so I like being home. I do have to travel some, and yes, then I have to, get a wonderful farm sitter who I trust.
Yeah, that's don't underestimate the value of a good farm sitter. That is for sure.
Oh, I'll tell you what. So, that's peace of mind. Can't put a price on that. So, and then, of course, I have the, you know, four doggies and the barn kitties and the menagerie, just like so many of us who are living this lifestyle around horses.
Yeah. Well, I
hey,
think
Mary
that
Ann?
You could go ahead, Glenn.
Go ahead, Jamie. Oh, I was just gonna say to Mary Ann that, and we haven't talked about this recently, and I just had an email yesterday. In about a month, we've been invited to go down to Graceland to do the morning show live from Graceland. And
oh,
then
how
I
cool!
Think, yeah, isn't that neat? And they want to talk about the horses that are there and all that stuff. And then I think what we're going to do is we're sort of going to be taking the morning show on the road through Tennessee. So we're hoping to catch up with you, and we're hoping to do this together, actually, to catch up with you and Templeton Thompson when we head over toward the Nashville area and actually have you guys on live with us. So would you be willing to do that?
Oh, absolutely. That's great.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I think we're looking forward to. I've never been to Graceland before, and actually never been to that part of Tennessee before. So we're looking forward to the barbecue.
Well, we'll be doing it. We'll be eating some barbecue, and you will. I'll tell you, the barbecue, you know, the Memphis barbecue is the famous dry barbecue.
Yep.
And but there are a lot of barbecue places around here too. But you're going to have to go. Eat some barbecue in Memphis, for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be doing that. We love barbecue. So I just wanted to tell you that we're going to be trying to catch up with you here in about a month. I'll let you know the date and everything.
Great. I hope it's not when I'm in Texas. But I am going. I'll give a little plug for AXA. You know, I'm involved with the American Competitive Trail Horse Association. You know, AXA. And I'm a sponsor. Anyway, they're really, really growing and bringing so many horse people together for camaraderie and conscientious horsemanship and fun. But they're having a competition for America's favorite trail horse. Not best trail horse, but favorite trail horse. And the finals are in May in Austin. And Tom asked me to come down, sing a couple songs and be a judge. And so I'm going down there it's around May 8th. And that'll be fun. I mean, Pat and Linda Pirelli will be there, and Monty Roberts, and I believe Lynn Palm. And so I'll be in some pretty good company down there.
All right, good.
Oh, cool.
Well, you have fun down there. It's been great having you on again. We really appreciate you stopping by, and thank you again for allowing us to play all your music.
Well, good morning. Like I said, I'm still having my... I just poured my second cup of coffee, so I do sound a little I have the morning show voice. But
me too.
This morning. But thank you so much. And everybody, you can give folks the the info about, you know, just going to my website, and
yep.
there's a little video on there of Road to the Horse, and that song is available right now for download. I'm hoping
okay.
to have a new CD released this fall, and that'll be a part of it. But right now, you can get it easily on iTunes or through my website.
And that's Road to the Horse, and that's MaryAnnKennedy.com. Thank you,
correct.
Marianne.
Hey, thanks, Glenn.
All right,
see y'all.
Bye, Marianne. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that was Marianne Kennedy. Good to have her on again. And we're going to be coming back here shortly with Lisa from the Chronicle talking about the Navy's, U.S. Navy's equestrian team. Who even knew? But first, I promised you that we were going to give you a little preview of tomorrow of the Lindsay Raker Band and our special episode tomorrow. And I uploaded one of those songs. And I don't think Jamie's on this one. As a matter of fact, I really tried from Lindsay to get a song that may have been recorded when her and Jamie were together. But for some reason, they're all missing. I'm not sure why. This is called Quiet Mind.
My arm bears down on my pen.
we're going to hear a whole musical episode with her tomorrow. It's going to be great. How you feeling, Glenn?
I just looked at Facebook. I just looked at Facebook, and if you're near the computer, you want to go to Facebook, and you want to look at Horses in the Morning, and you want to see our very own Jamie Jennings standing right beside, touching shoulders with Carrie Underwood. I can't believe that what you said.
Told you.
Oh, my God.
She's tiny, isn't she? She's super short. She's, like, shorter than me.
I didn't think that she was that, you know, we went to her concert, and we were right five rows away, and I didn't think she was that short.
She's way short. And you know who's not short is Taylor Swift. She's way tall. She's, like, 6 feet tall. So it was weird having both of them. They both came to our – basically, we were in Nashville doing a live broadcast at one of the award shows or something like that. So they all swing by to – tell you, you know, hello, and do an interview with you. So, yeah, she was great. I really liked her. She's way, way, way cute. It makes you just sick because she's so nice and sweet and cute.
Well, there were two cute girls in that picture. So,
Cletus T. Judd? My God.
Is that who that is? Was that the guy that was in your demo reel?
I don't remember who was in the demo reel, but, yeah, that's Cletus T. Judd, the country singer who wrote a bunch of funny songs. He's my co-host in Georgia. That didn't last very long. I was around for about 4 months before I couldn't take it anymore and I had to leave.
But you got to meet Carrie Underwood.
But I did get to meet Carrie Underwood, yes. So that was also when I was, like, before my 5 pounds of married weight, or maybe 10 pounds of married weight. I was so skinny back then. That's why I like looking at it.
So tell me, please tell me she was nice and friendly.
Oh, my gosh, she was awesome. She was great. I really liked her. I was like, because I'm such a huge fan of hers that I wanted to make sure she was going to be nice. You're always nervous to meet celebrities that you really like, because if they're a jerk, then it's going to ruin everything. That's why I never want to meet Bono ever, because I love his music too much. I love you too, and I like the music. I never want to meet Bono. But sometimes you're forced to meet people that you really like, and you just hope that they're great, and she was great. So there you go.
Yay! That doesn't ruin my fantasy then. You know, we used to like Rachel Ray because we watched the Food Network all the time, and then she started her own show. We used to watch that occasionally. And then we started hearing these reports from people who actually went to watch her show that she's rude to the audience in the commercials, and she was just rude. And then we've known a couple people that have been on her show, and they said the same thing. She's like rude. So it's like, okay, well, she went to a book signing down here in Lexington, and they said she was one of the worst people that's ever come in to do a book signing.
Well, no offense to Rachel Ray if she's listening right now. Jeez. I'm sure she's tuning in right
that.
Now. But yeah, I know what you mean. You know, when you hear that story from many people, it's one thing, a totally different thing anyway. By the way, you're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Product. And we've got the Chronicle report today with Lisa, and we've moved that now from Fridays to Thursdays in hopes that the Chronicle could deliver a little bit more serious information without Glenn constantly interrupting and being funny because it's Freestyle Friday. But now, Lisa, you're in trouble because to Glenn, it is Friday because he's going on vacation in like an hour. So I do want to apologize ahead of time. They're leaving in like 25 minutes. So let's just get through this together. We'll talk about this. First of all, you've got kind of a really cool story to tell, and I want you to just basically take us from start to finish. But this is first of all, you know, I'm really close to an Air Force base, and there is no horse anywhere close to the Air Force base here.
Yep.
But apparently the Navy has an equestrian team.
They do. That was kind of a surprise for us as well. Our editor, Beth Raven, received an email from an old friend of hers, Rob Burke, and he said, hey, I've just started coaching this team for the Naval Academy, and they're really cool, and they sort of started with absolutely nothing. and they're working really hard to get it going, and, you know, we think it might be a cool story. So I decided to take, I think I went on a Sunday, went out to their barn, which is about, I guess it's about 15 or 20 minutes outside of Annapolis. It's in Gambrills, Maryland. And I spoke with them and watched some of their lessons and saw their barn, and it's a pretty cool story. They really did start with absolutely nothing. It was just one girl, basically, who said she'd ridden her whole life. She went to the Naval Academy pretty much, you know, not expecting to be able to ride at all. And then said, wow, I really miss riding and I miss having horses. And so they just did an insane amount of work. They found a barn. They basically renovated it. They, you know, picked rocks out of the ring. They built a tack room. All pretty amazing. So they're now doing pretty well. I think they have, they said, 51 club members and a full team that's showing in the IHSA shows as well.
Okay, so this is like the equivalent to a college intercollegiate team?
Yeah, basically, except, you know, I don't know how much you know about the Naval Academy. I didn't know hardly anything about it, but their lives are nothing like college students. They're pretty much scheduled from, you know, first thing they wake up in the morning, they meet for formation at 7:30 a.m., and then they're working through the whole day. They have these incredibly difficult classes, and then they have mandatory, you know, workout times, and then they all have to eat together. They all have to line up together several times a day. And unless you're a junior, you don't even have your weekends free. You have, you know, mandatory training on Saturday mornings, and then you have just a little bit of free time on Sunday afternoons. So,
gosh, it sounds like it's a military or something. Jeez.
Yeah, I think that's the gist of it. So it's just really impressive because some of the students who are riding on the team, they're, you know, they're freshmen, which they call, what are they called? I can't remember.
Plebes? Are they plebes?
Plebes, yeah.
Yeah.
And they have basically like 8 hours a week of free time. And so instead of doing what I would do in that situation, which is probably use that free time to sleep. Yeah, they are like, you know, going out to the barn and riding without stirrups and grooming horses and picking rocks out of their ring still. And
that's what I liked about the article. I thought it was so funny. And it's true because just being married to an Air Force guy, you know, they do have to do those tests every once in a while, probably not nearly as much as students do, but he'll have to go to bed early because he has a PT test the next day.
Yeah,
like PT test. What is that? Well, you do as many push-ups as you can, as many sit-ups as you can, and you run a mile and a half as fast as you can. And if you don't fast, like you can get your pay docked and stuff like that. So
they can get kicked out of the Naval Academy if they don't pass. And they get graded on these tests, which I thought was amazing. And so they told me, you know, what you basically have to do if you want to get a D, if you just want to barely pass, is 65 sit-ups, 20 push-ups, and a mile and a half run time of 12:40. So that would let you pass, but you would get a D. If you're a female and you want to get an A on your PRT, you have to do 85 push-ups, 101 sit-ups, and a 9:35 run.
Holy crap!
Good
85
Lord,
push-ups. I cannot imagine.
That's a big fail. I can't even do like 7 push-ups. The lap. Oh my gosh, that would stink. Yeah, I would definitely fail. But I love the part in the in your article where they're talking about having to do. It's like, okay, guys, drop your stirrups and let's posting trot, which all of us have been through. Dear God, the posting with no stirrups, and then it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I had my PT test yesterday. I'm so sore. I can't even imagine, like, sprinting a mile.
No, but, I mean, they didn't complain. Like, they didn't offer up that information. You know, he said, okay, everybody, you know, cross your stirrups. We're going to work without stirrups for a while. And they weren't like, oh, no, we're really sore. They were just like, all right, this is what we're doing. And then, you know, a little bit later, he was like, you know, you guys aren't looking maybe quite as good as you usually do. And that's when they finally said, oh, yeah, we had a PRT yesterday.
Good Lord.
So,
I'm glad that there's tough, awesome people like that protecting us. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not one of them, but I'm glad that there are people like that.
That's what we pay taxes for right there. Is to have that kind of help. Well, that's great. So the is it an intercollegiate competition, even though it's not really an intercollegiate college kind of situation, or what,
yeah,
how do they
enter the regular intercollegiate competitions. You know, it's a little different. I did a little bit of intercollegiate when I was in school, and pretty much everything was funded and organized by the school. You know, they would just say, okay, we're going to a horse show on Saturday. Everyone show up at 8 a.m. But these kids, like, they don't have any help. They have to pay their own entries. They have to organize everything. And the organization aspect of it is just amazing because they're not normal college students. They can't just leave, you know, at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning if they want to. They have to file movement orders. They have to get all the financials approved. They have to turn in their checks ahead of time and then get them back to send into the horse show. So, like, months and months in advance, they're planning all these things and figuring out how to pay for them. And then they're going to the shows, and they're actually doing pretty well now in their zone, which is pretty difficult. They're in there with some schools who have really serious intercollegiate teams. I think they were, like, 8th or 9th out of 15.
Wow.
Which is, you know, pretty good, especially considering if there's a Navy football game, they're not allowed to miss it. So if there's a horse show on a day that happens to coincide with a Navy football game, they have to go to the football game.
Mm-hmm.
So they missed a couple of the horse shows for that.
Yeah, no. That's not bad then. That's good. Now, do any other branches of the military have teams? Do you have any idea?
They did say the Army has a team, and I think Army has had a team for a little bit longer. That's something that's been a little more established. I did not check to see how successful their team is, but that would be interesting to find out.
Just curious. So if people want to find out more, obviously go to cronofhorse.com to get any more information. Is it right there on the homepage?
It is, yep. Actually,
like,
you know what? I think
from
it's been moved.
Sea power to horsepower.
Yep. But you should be able to find it on there for sure. And then they also have a Facebook. It's USNA Naval Equestrian Team. They have a little Facebook page where they post updates about their horse shows and about the things they're doing with the horses and some photos. So that's pretty cool, too.
Hey, Lisa. I just wanted to ask you if you're coming down for Rolex.
I will be at Rolex. We are
Yay!
Just working on planning everything we're going to do for that.
Well, you guys have to plan on stopping by because we're going to be doing Horses in the Morning live every morning, Thursday through Sunday from Rolex.
Ah, excellent.
They're setting us up inside where the vendor area is in the old indoor arena there.
Okay.
We're going to be set up in there, and we're going to be live for an hour and a half every morning. So you're going to have to plan on stopping by and chatting with us one or two mornings.
I definitely will do that. It should be really exciting.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And you've been to Rolex before, right?
I've been as a spectator. This will be my first time working for the Chronicle there, so I'm also excited about that.
Oh, this will be your first time in the media tent.
Yep, it will.
Okay. Well, that's good.
This will be my first time working, too. You know what's going to be cool is meeting all of our listeners who we have talked to and our guests who we have talked to that we've never actually met or pretty much just seen besides a teeny little Facebook profile picture.
Yep.
Of them. So I think it's going to be awesome.
Yep, I'm pretty excited about it. It looks like a pretty good entry list, too. So.
Yeah,
definitely.
It'll be fun.
We're
added some more.
All right, cool. Well, thank you, Lisa. We appreciate you stopping by.
All right,
of course,
thank you so much.
Cronofhorse.com.
All right, excellent. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, we have a couple of news stories that we've been trying to get to all week and just haven't gotten there. We've been having so much fun this week. So I think we should go over a couple before we cut out and go on vacation. You got one?
Why don't? Yeah, well, sure. But I was going to let everybody know that Rolex actually just had a couple entries added because if you had perused the Rolex entry list, and of course we're talking about the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event in Lexington at the end of this month. If you don't know what it is, you've had your head in the sand. So welcome to the world. And you need to get tickets and go. It's just the most fun. But Philip Dutton has been added to the Rolex entry list, along with Susan Beebe, Holly Bennett, Will Coleman, Buck Davison, who wasn't on the list, Jessica Hamp, and Carl Slezak. So those entries, new and Philip entered on two new horses, or at least one new horse. So it should be really, really fun. And it's just like Rolex wouldn't be Rolex without Philip Dutton there. He always rides like 8 horses in it. You have no idea how he can physically do it. So he does, and he's going to be back, and he's got at least 2 entered right now. And, of course, the badminton horse trials we talked about, there is the app for that. There's an app for that, Glenn. Badminton
yes,
horse trials, search that, find the app. It is actually really cool. I've kind of been distracted today because I've been looking at it. That and finding Carrie Underwood photos.
They did a really, really good job with this app. I'm very impressed. Hey, I wanted to mention that, you know, you don't hear about too often a artist that has done horse paintings that sell their paintings in the millions of dollars. Well, Christie's Auction House in London announced that it's selling a masterpiece by equestrian painter George Stubbs, and they expect it to bring $33 million. He apparently is an 18th century artist who is renowned for his portraits of racehorses, and this one has come up for auction now. It's 3 feet, 3 feet by 1 foot, or something like that. It's a 3-foot painting. And anyway, if you're interested, you can go to the auction. It'll be on July the 5th if you bring your checkbook. But better yet,
George,
they probably won't take your check.
Do you want me to post a picture of the picture?
Do you have a picture of the picture?
Yeah, I found it. So this, what's the grand total price of this one?
They expect it to be $33 million.
$33 million. Now, if you guys all have seen George Stubbs' works before, because they're the racehorses that are elongated, like very dramatic paintings of racehorses, and he's painted some incredibly famous photos. So when you see this horse, I put it on our Facebook page right now. When you see this horse, you'll realize, oh, I've seen that before. I can't remember exactly the names of some other paintings that he's done. So that is the painting. It is now up on Horses in the Morning on the Facebook
page. That's the one they want, that they think will go for $33
million? Is that crazy or what? $33 million
for that
thing.
Because I really like Stubbs, but boy, for $33 million, that's not the one Stubbs I would have picked.
It's actually not much in the painting. It's mostly sky.
It's mostly 2 dudes.
Glenn. It is an education on light and contrast and depth and color and synometry of the different lighting special issue things. That went on longer than I thought it was going to go.
There's something else for sale, too. And that's Jack Nicholson is selling his house out in Malibu. He's owned this for a little while. It's a 70-acre site, ranch-style main house, a caretaker home, a tennis court, a cabana, a putting green, a swimming pool, and a grotto-style spa. It's a single-story main home built in 66, has a mountain and ocean views, and is zoned for equestrian use. It's 2,300 square feet of living space, actually rather small for most of these houses, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and a maid quarters. And it's relatively inexpensive, a lot cheaper than that painting. For $4.25 million, you can have Jack Nicholson's house out there in Malibu, and you can have your horses on it, too. You can buy 10 of Jack Nicholson's houses for the price of that painting.
Let's figure out the best way to spend our money. Do we buy a $4.5 million home, or do we buy a $32 million painting? Oh, God, it makes me just sick that you would think somebody would spend that much on a painting. But whatever, good on you. If you have that much money, go for it.
Hey, what's the horseless horse show? I saw I saw some articles yesterday, and I didn't read them, and I noticed you posted something here. So what's a horseless horse show?
I did. It's funny. In Tampa, Florida, they have a the Super Bowl of show jumping, which is the Gene Meesch American Invitational. And that's a huge show down in Florida. But what they also kind of run with that is a horseless horse show. And it's honest to God, like a horse show. They have jumper classes like fastest time without knocking down any rails. And it all of the proceeds go to charity. It's just World Projects and Kids Helping Kids programs. So there's this big horse show, like a show jumping show, and they have stadium jumping and a poussance. at the end of it, which is high jump. And it's really cool. And the people that are supposed to be in it, I mean, I think it's open to anybody, but the names of the people that are going to be in it, I mean, just include McLean Ward, BZ Madden, Margie Ingle, Richard Spooner. So the who's who of the show jumping world will be out there jumping fences. Georgina Bloomberg is signed up, Leslie Howard, Katie Prudent, Peter Leone. So
they just run around and jump the jumps on their feet?
Like the jumps look like the dog agility jumps. And they're actually, I mean, it's pretty funny. So the photos, if you do, just Google Horseless Horse Show, and there's some pictures of some people jumping some pretty dang tall jumps. And remember that video we posted on Facebook forever ago, the guys doing the high jump together? That's what it looks like. So
all right, cool. And, you know, that's
for
the Just World International. We had her on the show a little while back. The Just World International people were on our show. And I wanted to mention, you mentioned Bloomberg. Wasn't she part of this?
Georgina Bloomberg.
Georgina Bloomberg. Well, she co-hosted the Jumping Radio Show this week that you can find online, too. Jumping Radio Show number episode 57 was co-hosted by Georgina Bloomberg.
Oh, cool.
So you'll find that over there, too. She was with Chris, and they had a chat about things. So we're leaving now. So I'm just going to say goodbye. We'll just do the end of the show. We got to be sure to listen in tomorrow for a special musical episode. We'll be back live on Monday. You can listen to all our shows at horseradionetwork.com. You're going to take a lesson tomorrow.
Stop. It's ridiculous. You cannot just run through. You did this yesterday. I have my words that I say at the end of the show. You have yours. And you ran through all mine yesterday. I'm not letting you do it again. You just completely did a whiplash segment. Exactly, Jennifer. He did a whiplash segment. We were talking about Georgina Bloomberg, and then you just ended the show. I don't care if you're going on vacation. We have 8 more minutes, and you will sit here, and you will be on this show for 8 more minutes because this show ends at 7:30. I am not letting you leave.
You know what, though? What's really funny, everybody, is she has no choice because I control the buttons. Have a great weekend, everybody, and wear your helmets.